from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm sure glad they're acquiring pitchers left and right, because that's exactly what they need, especially ones who have been DFA'd or have ERAs over 5, right?
Yippee. Happy birthday. Poor Shelty. I hope they get him something.
What's his name?
Josh Walker.
I'd rather have Neil Walker right now. If you gave Neil Walker a month to ramp up, he would have a hard time, even at his age. And Neil was a really good power-hitting second baseman here, as we know. He would have just as good or better numbers, I'm convinced of this, as Olivares when he was here, Alika Williams at 210 with a 536 OPS, and of course, zero home runs. Michael A. Taylor, Jason DeLay, Jared Triolo at 199 with a 276 on base. That's got to be the worst in baseball for anybody who has 250 or more at bats. Jiwon Bae, Grandal, Sawinski, Henry Davis, or Ron Cook's son, Grant, who was here for about a week. Neil Walker, with a month of ramp-up, would have better numbers than any of those. I'd rather have him than Josh Walker. Wouldn't you, Paul?
Yes, by the way.
This pizza is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. By the way, I was going to say, did you see that the women that we were watching lost that game to Germany?
Yeah, they were ahead 12-0 in 3-on-3 hoops.
What in the world happened there? Anyway, the only reason I say that, it just came up on my screen.
I know.
I kind of stopped watching because they were winning. So
did I. The game was over until it wasn't.
But here's my thing about Josh Walker. Do you know who'll be really happy about this?
Who?
The prospect wonks. He's a pre-arbitration guy. 3 or 4 years of control, right? I'm sure there's going to be all of that discussion about how they've got control of him and all that.
I don't understand what's happening here. Right. Why are they collecting mediocre pitchers instead of hitters? Limits, you mentioned this kid, York. You want to see him here right now. And the more you mentioned it, Shelty said we want to get a look at him in our system. Didn't they go and get him because of how he looked in the Red Sox system?
That's the point. Why would you trade for him? I mean, isn't that? I mean, I understand that you want to see him further up close, but you traded for him for a reason. You think he's good enough to be able to contribute to your ball club. I don't understand why 15 games in AAA is going to make much of a difference with that. Why not bring him up to the majors right away instead of giving a guy like Alika Williams at-bats or more Jared Triolo at-bats with Nick Gonzalez hurt? I mean, I don't get it. Why not give this guy an opportunity?
He's going to be there for a few weeks. That's going to happen. You know what I mean?
But what's the point of that?
But I'm just saying, they brought him in. He's like, well, we want to get a look at him. But I think the other thing is, you know how it is. They're very, very loyal to the guys they already have.
And
so if they bring up some guy who hasn't played a single major league game before he's actually in their system, you know, they're worried about
it. I'd like to see it within a couple weeks. If the guy can hit, he can hit. Let's go here.
Right.
Michael McHenry coming on momentarily. He'll be on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The text line, very important because we have Texts in the City coming up, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What did Shelty have to say when we pointed out that he publicly asked for a bat on this show a couple weeks ago? You're on the record with us saying that you would like a bat. Are you confident you'll have one by 6 p.m.?
Yeah, I'm on the record saying that I want to add to our offense. I think everybody within our organization does. And, you know, hopefully it's a situation where that happens. I don't think there's any guarantees at the deadline because of how challenging the deadline itself is. So, you know, we have another, whatever it is, 6 or 7 hours to see how it pans out, and then we kind of go from there.
Will you be disappointed if it doesn't happen?
No, I don't think disappointed because, you know, it's a situation where sometimes things just don't line up. And it's not a situation where we're not trying to add or we haven't had conversations about adding. Sometimes you can't line up with people, or people go other places, or they have other deals. So I know we're continuing to work on it. I know we will continue to work on it up until the deadline. And you know, hopefully it's a situation where it's something that we get something done.
You know how it works out in the end, Paul, is you outbid people. In right. Some people's minds, you overpay. Jim Rutherford, people say, well, why would you bring in that guy and promise him an extra year on his deal when he's 39? And his response would be, because that's how I got the trade. That's how I won the trade.
Right.
Because I was the guy willing to give him an extra year as a free agent, or I was willing to throw in another first-round pick. How do you think trades are won? By one team outbidding
right,
the other.
Exactly.
So that's what, if the Pirates want to add a significant bat, they may have to overpay. And as we've said, after 5 years of abject prospect hoarding, they should have more than enough prospects to overpay for one guy. Let's bring on Michael McHenry. He is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, and he's on 93.7thefan.com, sitting right between us. Michael, do you think the Pirates are going to make a move of significance to help their offense by 6 p.m., and do they need to?
Do they need to is a probably better question, or I may have a better answer for you, but I think they're trying with everything they have. I think some of these deals that they're striking, the Triple-A guy from Boston, a couple left-handers, I think it are products of them trying to probably get a bat too. And they kind of line up with some depth options. I really like the trade that they made with Boston. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Now, your question was, can they do it without it? Yes, they can. If some things line up well, we're seeing Michael Taylor over the last 15 games really hit the ball well. His defense, if he can be in the lineup more consistently, I think it's a bonus. Jack Switzke going out of Triple-A, I think it's a bonus for everybody because he gets a chance to kind of take a deep breath, maybe find his form, maybe he can come back in a month and be the guy we remember him to be and carry, you know, an offense in late August, early September. There's a lot of options here. And if guys hit the way they can and we get hot and we have Ono Cruz hitting like he is, we have Brian Reynolds doing what he can. The one guy I think is the separator has got to be Key Bryant. Key Bryant has got to do something significant over the next couple months to really help this offense, because then you look at the balance in the middle, it becomes really, really strong.
The thing about Key Bryant is, and it's probably a pretty good question that is fair to ask at this point, is he 100% healthy? Because he's, you know, he's a back injury, as you know, it's a hard injury to play baseball with. I have back injuries. It's hard for me to swing a golf club with it. So I can't imagine when you're swinging, you know, a baseball bat or trying to swing a baseball bat, that it's much different in terms of, you know, how your back injury affects your ability to do your job. I mean, is it a case of where they might just have to accept that this is what they're going to get from him the rest of the year because he's just not going to be 100% healthy with that back?
I don't think they'll accept it. I think they'll deal with it. The difference is like his defense does play. Anytime you have him in the lineup, he's going to help you win ball games by stealing runs. Now, if we can get him going and having big moments, and I think the biggest thing is can he accept where he's at? It's very hard as a human being to know you can't do something you're capable of doing and going out there and doing what you're capable of doing consistently. And I think that's where he's at right now is, can he just go out, have good at bats, be a quality stick, and then go out and play great defense? If it's affecting him on both sides, it's a different animal. Doesn't look like it's affecting him on defense. So I think if he can go out and do his thing, the best of his ability. So that may be hitting behind runners. It may be some more hit and runs. It may not be able to launch the baseball into the seats or hitting for extra base hits, but that could be finding barrel consistently. I call it playing a little barrel pepper.
You mentioned Michael A. Taylor, Michael, and he's hitting 300, only 30 at-bats this month, but with a 956 OPS. If you were them, would you be inclined to say, you know what, if we can get him, you know, approximating those kinds of numbers, you know, even around a 750 OPS, whatever, he's good enough defensively where we'll go with him every day. Maybe we don't need to make a move for a center fielder. Would you be inclined to ride with Michael A.?
Yeah, I would have been inclined to ride with Michael A. at the beginning. And the reason being is, I mean, he's probably, I haven't checked in the last couple of weeks, but he's probably at 10 outs above average when it comes to his ability on defense. How much better he makes us defensively up the middle is a joke. You look at the rest of our outfielders, they've struggled a little bit this year. He has not. He has not wavered in the outfield one moment. I think he makes our team better. I think too often this year he's been in and out of the lineup. It's hard to get consistent. And that's the product of us not being able to kind of be consistent as an offense. I think that's kind of been the product of him being in and out of the lineup. So, yeah, I think if he starts to show signs that he's driving the ball again, he's not pulling off like he has been quite a bit this season, which is a product of not playing. I speak from experience. So he's a guy I'd love to see take off. And he's a guy the guys look up to. I mean, he's just like Andrew McCutchen. He's been around a long time. And guys look up to him because he's got that stoic, you know, ability when he does play well to kind of capture them. So I hope he does well.
The one guy the Pirates are allegedly rumored to be at least talking to the other team about is Josh Bell. You know, he played here, obviously. I mean, so we're familiar with him. But my question is, how exactly do you use him when you're not, you've got, you know, Rowdy Tellez has been one of your best hitters at first base, and you've got Andrew McCutchen to be a DH. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be enough at-bats for him to make that kind of a trade worthwhile.
And, I mean, I love Josh Bell. Listen, he's a great human being, but does he fit? And I think you kind of answered that question. I don't think he does fit. I don't think he's much of an upgrade when it comes to our DH or our first base option right now. So, I mean, the fact is, like, he's more of a DH. So it'd be tough for him to come in. You stack more left-handed, you know, power-hitting bats, even though he's a switch hitter. You know, he's going to hit mostly left-handed. So you're kind of changing the whole theme. Do you platoon them and then not give him any at-bats right-handed? I don't think you can do that either. I think you got to really think through, you know, who you want. And he's probably not a piece you're able to keep over the next couple of years. I think that's one thing that they are trying to do. They're trying to find pieces that they can hold on to. They don't want a Reynolds. They don't want a Chris Archer. They want somebody they can grab a hold of and put in this lineup for the next couple of years, because this team's going to be really good for quite some time. You want to make sure you keep these guys together.
I guess my thought there, Michael, is Josh Bell could be had for very little. And I'm what I'm interested in for them is to collect bats. And we can talk about where it all fits later. I want Shelton to be able to turn to his left late in the game and not have to pick from all the people he has to pick from now. I don't think Alika Williams should be on a major league roster, quite frankly. Connor Joe's been slumping for 2.5 months. I mean, he needs options. I don't care if Josh Bell is just a bench bat. He's got to have – they need hitters. That's my thought anyway.
You need hitters that are used to the situation they're in too. And putting Josh Bell off the bench is not going to be the same Josh Bell as Josh Bell. And that's the biggest problem is you got to define what each guy is. You talk about Alika Williams. There's probably 29 teams that would love to have Alika Williams as a defender and a defender only, you know, and then a guy that can come off the bench and have a a quality at bat. And I think that's the hardest part, is when you're trying to search for different options to put in there and who's going to get hot, who's not, you're kind of forcing the hand of guys to maybe get out of their comfort zone and where you could really make them thrive, because you're playing them in situations maybe they've never played in. One, I mean, we saw Triolo go on the outfield the other day, make an incredible play. But yeah, that's outside the norm, but you know he can do that. So that's the fact, is even though that's outside of his norm, he's a glove first guy. I think as we start to figure this out, that whatever move we make or don't make, I think if we make it more consistent for the guys, I think you're going to see those guys thrive more. We've already seen that. Bart playing more behind the plate, he's hitting better, right? I think Grandal finally kind of becoming the backup guy, I think you're going to see him start to thrive a little bit more. Just sit at home the other night. Michael Taylor getting more options in the outfield, giving guys more rest. I mean, giving Kutch a day off the other day, you know, he hasn't gotten a lot of opportunity to rest. Everybody talks about how old he is. The guy does need a break when he's not maybe feeling at the best. He was getting pitched really tough. I think you look at all these things, if it lines up properly, we're going to have a lot of good things moving forward.
Well, again, all those things, you know, again, you're talking about everything happening, and maybe some of those things happen, but not all of, you know, you're probably not going to hit on all of them. Does the name Kevin Pillar do anything for you?
Yeah, once again, it's a rental piece. You know, if they were talking about that kid from the A's, his name's slipping my mind right now.
Brent Rooker or Blade?
Yeah, Rooker, either one would be great. I think trying to get – I really wanted Lane Thomas. But a power-hitting defensive guy in our lineup, I think that'd be an amazing piece to add. And he's a guy who's controllable for a while. And I think that's what they're looking for, and it's just not easy. But you also look down at AAA, and if T'Juan Bay can have anything of the semblance as he's been in AAA, if Henry Davis can come up at some point and be the boost that he's been in AAA, they are full of options. It's just, can someone step up with that internal option? Because that's the hardest piece to let go of. You don't want to let go of Henry Davis and him go to the Nationals and be an all-star catcher. You don't want to let go of T'Juan Bay and him become an all-star center fielder, when the reality of it is they've shown in AAA that they can do it. Can they take that product and bring it to the major league level in some semblance?
I guess, well, my thought would be, let's find out next year, because I want, like in Hoosiers, man, I want my team on the floor now. I've given guys like Jack Sawinski more than enough patience, and now he's back in the minors.
Right?
Yeah, so let's get some.
I think that's where it should be for our team moving forward. I really do.
Well, but the thing about Pillar being a rental is, it sounds like they would have to give up something like international slot money or cash considerations. I mean, like, it seems like they could get him for not nothing, but clearly not one of their top 10 or maybe even 15 prospects. It would seem to me like that would be the kind of deal where you're at least adding someone who might help you win this year, because I think this year you have a chance if you just get a little better offensively.
Yeah, but he has to play every day. And would you rather take him or Michael Taylor? Michael Taylor's better defensively. Michael Taylor getting hot could be just as good offensively. And Kevin Pillar's had a credible year. But you look at his last couple of years when he's playing off the bench, he's not the same guy. So they would have to strategically say, this is our guy every day. And if that's the fact, then yeah, you could go get him, but you're going to give up something maybe you don't want to, and you may not get the guy you think you're getting. I mean, you got to remember, he started replacing Mike Trout and started playing like Mike Trout, which he has not done in the last 5 years. So he has not played like this in a while. So assuming that he's going to come to Pittsburgh outside of LA and do the same thing is tough for me. It'd be a really tough sell for me.
That's interesting. Your comments are really making me think here, Michael. And I guess it gets one of the things, especially with this roster, it gets to a philosophical question of, would you rather have an offense, no defense guy coming off the bench, or a defense, no offense? And it seems to me that they have had a ton of the latter. Michael A. Taylor, great defensively, has provided, other than last night, not much offensively. Triolo is a 199 hitter, but great defensively. Grandal, Skeens wants it. He's a really good catcher. Almost nothing offensively for the whole year. Alika Williams. They've got, they're collecting guys who are defense only, virtually. So if you're running a team, obviously you would like a balance. But if I tell you you can have an offense-only guy or a defense-only guy, which would you rather have? Which is more valuable?
Right now, an offensive-only guy. But Kevin Pillar is not an offensive-only guy for me. That's the tough part. Like if I had to pick right now, I'd say an offensive-first guy. I would say Bart's more of an offensive-first guy behind the plate. I think you could justify Grandal, Henry Davis, or DeLay being a defensive-first guy. I think if you bring up Henry Davis right now, it may, you know, help that offense if you balance out their playing time. I don't know if you want to give up Grandal's understanding of the game, the way he's kind of taken hold of that staff, but you just kind of look and mix and match. That's the hardest part about being a GM.
Yeah.
You got to move these chess pieces just right. And if you make the wrong move, you're going to get scrutinized. If you make the right move, you're going to look like a legend. It's really tough. And sometimes they'll make the wrong move and it'll turn out right and they'll be a legend anyways.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing. We always go back to Jay Happ at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. That trade deadline, nobody, at least in this town, was like, hey, we're jumping for joy when they got Jay Happ. And he turned out to be maybe the best pitcher after the trade deadline, you know, in all of baseball, besides maybe a guy like Arrieta. I mean, for the most part, Jay Happ was ridiculously good. Sometimes you just don't know what you're getting. I think that, though, if the Pirates could just add a little bit to this roster, they have a chance. I'm actually warming up to the idea of Kevin Pillar from the standpoint of it's probably the only level of deal that they're really going to be legitimately going to try and make. I mean, can you see any scenario where they unload a few real prospects to go out and get somebody who is, you know, going to be one of the bigger names on the market and everything else?
If it's the right guy, yeah, I could. I could also see a weird trade, and I don't necessarily want this to happen, but you could see a contract for contract. You know, if they're not happy with Key Brian Hayes, that's $80 million, right? They could trade Key Brian Hayes with someone else and get a big name just because you change that uniform. A lot of times that's all it takes. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're down to the wire, but it's going to be interesting to see what could unfold. I think if they put their pieces out there, they're going to take what they can get. They're going to take as much as they can get for as much as they're willing to give. They are trying with every piece they have to figure it out. And I think, you know, you've kind of looked at how the trades have changed over the last couple of years. I mean, what the Cardinals just did with the White Sox and the Dodgers is kind of an epitome of what trading is nowadays. You may have to trade one of your assets at the big league level that are under contract to get exactly what you need to win now. And that's maybe what we see moving forward. We have, you know, quite a few guys, like you were just talking about, that are defensive-oriented that a lot of teams are probably calling on. I know teams are calling on DeLay. He's in AAA. But that's an asset teams need right now because they need a sure-handed catcher behind the plate. We have a lot of those guys. We have a lot of guys up the middle. We just doubled down with the guy up the middle because Nick Gonzalez got hurt. So it's going to be interesting. And I think we have the assets in the minor leagues. I think we also do at the big league level for certain teams in certain situations.
How does Bednar look to you, Michael? Like his usual dominant self or maybe a little bit off?
Bednar looks good. I think he's dealing with something that's just going to make him better moving forward. And I think we're going to see the best version of him down the line because it's tough, you know, coming off injuries and coming back. And I think a byproduct of this spring, not getting a full spring, you know, hurt that lat. And then he came back later on, hurt his oblique. Those two things start to align when you think about the way your torso moves. So I think he's still trying to find the balance. But every time a guy gets hurt like Bednar, speaking from experience, I got 5 knee surgeries. The reality of it is you can either take it or leave it. He's a guy that's going to take it and run with it, in my opinion. He's going to use these opportunities to learn himself better. What can I do? What can I not do? How do I need to prepare better? And I think he's going to be that much better for it. And I think the same thing with Stratton. He's going to be that much better because those dudes don't sit back and relax. They get after it when they're hurt. And I watched him get after it. Him, Gonzo, and Stratton got after it. Every single day the team was on the road, almost like I haven't seen, because they know the implications. They know what they want to do. And that's so cool to see.
Well, yeah. By the way, as we were talking, Mark Leiter just went from the Cubs to the Yankees. Mm. So it seems like things are heating up. And the trade deadline, you look at
a great trade, by the way.
Yeah, you look at the bullpen at large. You know, they added this guy, Beeks, from Colorado. They still probably are going to try and add maybe even one more. I would be willing to bet if they make a deal to be for another reliever. The bullpen has really a chance to be a unit that puts this group over the top, because it feels like if you get a good start against the Pirates, it's going to be really hard for you to score in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. I mean, is that sort of what you've observed about this team?
Yeah, and I think if you look at how the playoffs kind of line up, if you can have your top three starters, you want to have one guy on the fringe just in case, and then the bullpen's going to be the shut the door. And I think we have that. I think the depth is what they're looking at. And why that's so important is when you get in the playoffs, you got to make sure you have guys with experience mixed in with some guys with electric arms, which we do, that maybe don't have that experience. We're lining up a chance to have a bullpen over the next, you know, 3-4 years that's just absolutely dominant. And you can kind of look through the minor leagues as well. The pitching is the thing that stands out the most, whether it's starting or relieving. I mean, the kid that we gave up for the Binks in Colorado, that dude was lights out in high A and double A this year. I mean, lights out. Obviously, we went to experience. I've heard nothing but good things about that kid from Colorado. Heard he is absolutely outstanding when it comes to a clubhouse guy, his character. So he's going to come in, and he's going to be part of that depth option. I'm sure he has options. Maybe they throw him a triple A. Maybe he's in the big leagues. Maybe he's back and forth. But it gives us an opportunity to kind of mix and match the right crew going down the line.
Michael, we appreciate the time. Should be very interesting between now and 6 o'clock. Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, it should. No we'll problem. Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
I just think, yeah. You know, what's great is on social media, too. I didn't want to bring it up with Michael, but we had some people that were on social media ripping Michael, saying he was giving the company line. By talking about the internal options.
The text line said that to a couple people.
Well, his point was that Michael A. Taylor is hitting 300 this month, and I think his point was, would Kevin Pillar be an overall upgrade on Michael A. Taylor? So I think his points are certainly worth listening to. Like there's rationale for what he's saying, honestly. Michael A. Taylor, unbelievably, is a one war player, meaning the war rating, which ranks overall contribution to the team. I think he's second or third on the Pirates right now because of his defense. Let me check this out right here. This is the part where I silently look up stats.
That's the biggest thing.
He's tied for third. Right. Brian Reynolds, well, O'Neill Cruz, Michael A. Taylor.
I mean, I would just say this. There are people, the analytics, you know, wonks. They love the stat, the war stat, when it backs up whatever it is they're trying to say. And if it says something like that, then they will tell you that, well, it's not a perfect stat.
War.
It's not a perfect stat. But in relation to people saying, well, what's Michael McHenry talking? That's what he's talking about. Is Kevin Pillar a better option than Michael A. Taylor? That's an open question.
Is he?
If you believe in defense.
Is he? I mean,
I think that's an open question.
I'm sorry. I believe in defense. I just think that the number of plays that your center fielder are going to make that are, you know, of the spectacular version.
I tend to believe that too. That most people that offense to me is more important.
Exactly.
Let's not act. First of all, Taylor's out hitting Kevin Pillar in the month of July. Second of all, Pillar has one home run since May 28th. There's a lot of guys that I would say would be an automatic upgrade on Michael A. Taylor. I'm not sure that 35-year-old, soon to retire Kevin Pillar is one of them.
Kevin Pillar has a one war.
Taylor has a 1.1.
War. WAR. War.
Yeah, okay, they're equal. So if the point is that Michael McHenry talking about, he's raising a very
He's
open question. What would Pillar be an upgrade on Taylor? I don't know.
I'm saying you're trading a bat for a glove, is you know a little better.
Sort
bat,
of.
A little yeah. better bat for a glove.
Except not a better bat this month.
Okay, but the guy is batting 308, 353, 500 with an 853 OPS.
So, who is?
Pillar. I'm sorry. Yes. That's what he's hitting with the Angels.
That's a 150 at bat sample size. 51 he was hitting games. 160 with the White Sox.
Okay, but I'm just saying. I had to look at. I was trying to do the math real quick in my head. That's all.
All I'm saying in the end, I don't even agree with Michael McHenry. But if people are saying this guy's out of his mind, he's raising valid questions.
I don't think he's out of his mind.
I didn't say you. I said whoever the texter was.
My only point about Kevin Pillar. Okay, let's say you want to keep Michael A. Taylor in the lineup because he hit a home run last night. And, of course, he's now going to take off and he's going to be a great everyday player. You still have. Couldn't you put Pillar in right?
Sure.
Does that mean we're going to have to take the great Connor Joe or Joshua Palacios?
Well, the other thing that
or G1 Bay out of the lineup.
No, you absolutely could. McHenry's point was, if you don't have Pillar playing every day, you're going to get the bad version of him like you got with the White Sox because he's not good off the bench.
Put him in right field.
I'm with you.
And so all I'm saying is the thing about Pillar is you can get him for almost nothing. There's no reason why you wouldn't say.
I feel like it's a crapshoot. If you bring in Kevin Pillar, maybe Sawinski outhits him the rest of the year. We're just rearranging deck chairs here.
Why would you believe that?
Because he's out hitting. Because Sawinski's having a better July than this guy. He's Kevin Pillar. I don't know. It's just, it feels like they're rearranging the deck chairs here, Paul. They need a real hitter. They need a middle-of-the-order hitter.
My point is, they're probably not going to make that kind of deal.
They're
probably not going to make that kind of deal.
Yeah, so I know. Josh Walker.
Right.
Jalen Beeks.
My point is,
Bob Pompiani's woodpecker? Jalen Beeks?
If you can make the team better. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine.
Even if it's incrementally better. Josh Bell, to me, not a great defensive player at all. A guy who probably is going to strike out a bunch, but he might run into some home runs for you. If you're bringing him in for nothing or next to nothing, and you put him on your bench, he's better than some of the guys you got there now.
He's better than all of the guys you got there
whatever.
Now. I agree. We agree in the end. That's where I disagreed with Michael. Just collect bats.
Just get a couple of guys. If you're not going to go out and make a real deal.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree. Again, at 6 o'clock, I'll come back into the studio and eat crow if they make some big deal, okay? But my point is, I've resigned myself to the fact that they're going to, you know, rationalize the whole, well, you have to be able to walk away and say, no, the ask is too much. What did Shelton say? It's just not lining up the right way. I think that is all coded away of saying we're not going to make a big deal. So if you're not going to make a big deal and you bring in Josh Bell and Kevin Pillar, and that's what you do, you will have at least made your team incrementally a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree. If for nothing else, then it gives Shelt the options. It covers you in case. It gives you depth, a little bit of depth. Again, for the 100th time today, when you're late in these close games and they're almost all close and they're almost all low scoring because the Pirates can pitch, you can't have Alika Williams or Jared Triolo or give me a name here, G1 Bay, as your options. Those aren't options. You have. Would you rather look down and say, hey, I could go to Josh Bell right now, or I could go to Rowdy Tellez because Bell's my starter today as a pinch hitter? Of course you would. Give this guy some offensive options. late right. in games.
Right.
Some real options if they have to, if there's injuries. So yes, I would agree. That would be better than nothing. But man, you talk right. about damning with faint praise. what you did was better than nothing, well, Ben. Thanks.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I've completely lowered my expectations for what they're going to do. And frankly, I'd say it's probably 50-50 if they make even those kind of deals.
Shelty, we'll tell you what Shelty said about Aroldis Chapman coming up next. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I have to do a Betfair read.
Let me ask you something real quickly, though. All right? Can I ask you? All right.
Yeah.
I want a percentage.
Yes.
Percentage, higher being yes, lower being no. So zero's no, 100's yes, okay?
Yeah.
Chapman's on the roster tomorrow.
From me? Let's talk about that next. We'll answer that question next. In trouble here. We got people yelling at me in my ears. I'm freaking out. We'll answer that question next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, sounds good.
We're talking lots of Pirates today. We're always talking Pittsburgh sports. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. We want you to be here to talk with us. Schedule a heart checkup at UPMC today. They're great over there. I did this a couple years back. Probably time to do it again. It's just for peace of mind, and if anything's happening, they will set you up on a nice program to get better. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Brian De La Cruz is something you're reading about from the Marlins. He's sort of an underachiever at age 27, but he's got some pop.
Yeah, Francis Romero, trusted reporter, said that the Pirates are interested in acquiring him from the Marlins. He has 18 home runs this year, 51 RBIs. He'll be tied for first on the team in home runs, third in RBIs.
The thing is, he's another pre-arbitration guy. There's three more years.
Yeah, three more years, all arbitration.
So it means it's gonna. Are they going to be willing to part with what it's going to take to get one of those guys?
Yeah, I'm really lukewarm on him. All right, yes or no to end the show. The Pirates will make a big deal, bigger than Pilar, bigger than Yandy Diaz, bigger than Josh Bell. Yes or no?
No.
I think Yandy Diaz is kind of big, but I'm still going to say no.
I say yes. Will Aroldis Chapman be here tomorrow? Shelty almost promised that. He pretty much did promise that.
I actually, after hearing from Shelton, yeah.
Yes, he will be here.
Yes, he'll be here. The Pirates will get Pilar and or Josh Bell.
Yes.
Yes, one of the two.
Yes. And the Pirates will get Brian De La Cruz.
No.
Are we considering this a big move?
That would be a big move.
That's just a yes or no question. Will they get him?
Yes.
Thank you, City Limits.
Here was the one I had. Will Martin Perez be a Pirate tomorrow?
No.
No.
Okay.
What do you say?
I would probably agree with that. How about Marco Gonzalez?
No.
Yes, he'll be here.
We have to go. You say yes or no?
I think he'll be here.
We'll be here. We'll be talking about whatever the Pirates did or didn't do. Fan weather. It's the Sun Chevy Summer Drive, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. I have 81 today with an 80% chance of rain, but it already rained. So the way I see it, Limits, there's a 100% chance of rain.
It is rain. Hopefully it won't rain on Shelty's birthday with
perhaps.
No trades.
Here we go. Wait, real quick. John Morosi thinks the Tigers outfield infielder Mark Canha is a trade option for the Pirates. He's a 35-year-old rental.
I'll take him if he's not Alika Williams coming
to
the plate.
Do you know anything about him?
No, but we'll find out.
Let's do the
outfielder.
Wait. Let's do the here. Give me one second.
We have to go.
Give me one
we
second.
Have
give me
to go.
I literally have the
end
stats
it with
coming
a ball
up.
Pause.
Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready? 231, 337, 350 with a 687.
Plan
OPS.
The parade. Plan the freaking
That's
parade.
That's what I wanted to see.
Thank you, Paul.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.